I love this topic because it builds upon itself. You know, layer by layer by layer, this is really when we get into, you know, the choosing piece. Like, here's who I am and, you know, like putting yourself out there. So today's class is a really big deal. How you introduce yourself is important. You know, if you simply say, you know, that you're a business or a life coach and then you tout the virtues of coaching, prospects will likely smile, but they will quickly lose interest. You know, the coaching industry, you know, we go into this profession because we really truly make a difference. You know, we talk about, you know, helping people jump out of bed every day and being excited, and, you know, who wants passion and purpose. You know, those things are important, but, you know, people don't pay for that. You know, people pay when they're in trouble. You know, I need help. I've done what I can do on my own. I recognize that I can't do it. And I'm going to reach out for help. And that's a process that takes a while. You know, people don't spend money unless they have to. And they will spend money if there's a challenge or something that's important to them or there's a challenge. So to just, you know, talk about how you'll help someone live a fulfilling and passionate life, it's good, but it's not enough. It's not enough for people to spend money on you. And, you know, so that's really why this hub is so important. You know, the thing also about, you know, saying, oh, I help people live fulfilling and passionate life, you know, it's abstract, it's nonspecific, it's meant for no one in particular, and it really isn't compelling enough for people to, you know, you want to inspire them to take action, but you also want to give them a reason to take action. So, what is a hub? Your hottest, undeniable benefit, or your hub statement, is the first sentence that you say out loud when describing what you do as your profession. A hub statement is also referred to as a unique benefit statement, a value proposition. It is a critical piece of your branding efforts. It's the centerpiece or the hub of your marketing. So I want to read a couple of hub statements that I think that work. So example number one, here's a hub for a publishing coach, like someone who helps, you know, coaches or other people, you know, publish stuff, books or articles, blog posts, social media, you know. But really, this one is for someone who helps someone with a book. So a publishing coach, you know, I help people get their book out of their head and onto bookshelves, right? I help people get their book out of their heads and onto bookshelves, right? You know, I like that visual. You know, can you download a book? Can you to your Kindle or your Reader or whatever? But, you know, there's still some allure about walking into a bookstore and having your book on the bookshelf. And your hub statement is something visual. I help you get stuff out of your head, right? Because most books are in people's heads and onto the bookshelf. Physical, I can see it. I think it's good. I think it's a good statement. Another one, a relationship coach. I help couples find a safe place to love. I help couples find a safe place to love, right? What's the heart and soul of relationships? Love. Safe place. You could almost visualize this safe place, you know, where two people are in love, you know, and when you're not, you know, either you haven't found that or maybe you had it, you lost it, you want to recreate it, you want to come back to it. The safe place to love. You know, it's very visual. Couple other ones. I help women executives reach financial freedom by transforming their relationship to money. Right, I help women executives reach financial freedom by transforming their relationship to money. And even though this coach is talking about women executives, she's focusing on a different piece, which is helping them to attain financial freedom. Right, so maybe she was an executive in the past. She knows executives. She's comfortable with executives, right? You know, just a little bit of pay and forwardness in our profession. Financial freedom by transforming their relationship to money. So this woman already knows that her target audience needs to transform the relationship to money, and they want financial freedom, but, you know, maybe they're afraid to ask for money or they don't think that they're worth money, but she knows. You know, and that's what makes this effective. My last one, I help women sales managers create an inspired sales force so they can have their most profitable year yet. I help women sales managers create an inspired sales force so they can have their most profitable year yet, right? Love this. The coach has zoomed into the challenging aspect of a sales manager's job, inspiring people and making money, right? Inspired Salesforce. Because what sales is all about? Quotas, you have to make your quota. I'm afraid what happens to me if something doesn't happen, right? So and they know that things start at the top. So if the sales manager is not inspired, then the sales force is not going to be inspired. So this what I like about this hub is, you know, they're not concentrating on the people. You know, sometimes a manager can say, oh, you know, it's not me, it's my people. You know, change my people and then I'll be okay. This person knows that it's the manager, you know, and saying in a nice way that I will help you so you can help them. Okay, so now I'm going to open it up. I'd like to hear from you about what you think your hub is, the hub statement. I'm so sorry I'm coughing today. The hub statement, and I'd like to go around the room and hear from you. If you have a hub, let's talk about it. If you don't have a hub, let's talk about what's missing. All right, so who wants to go first?
I'll jump in, Deborah. It's Anne-Marie.
Okay. I love it, Anne-Marie. Go for it.
All right, well, this just came to me this morning. I've been thinking about it all week, but all right. I help women who feel unfulfilled in their corporate careers reinvent themselves and create their second acts.
Okay. All right. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to say it again, and then I'd like to go around the room, and I'd like to hear from each one of you. And you please give Anne-Marie some feedback. And feedback, remember, this is a safe space. If you like something, say what you like. If there's something that needs to be tweaked, say, I really like it, but here's what I think could be more powerful. Okay? All right. So, Anne-Marie, please say that again.
Okay. I help women who feel unfulfilled in their corporate careers reinvent themselves and create their second acts.
Okay. All right, Mike, what do you think about that?
You know, the first thing that hits me is that, you know, there's an element of substance to it, but there's also an element of breadth to it. I guess what I look for in the hub statement is where the spawning ground is. You know, where you know, when you take the hub statement, you know, where you're dropping the hook into the water. You know, who's going to be nibbling on it? And you know, it's broad in the sense that it can cover, you know, virtually any industry. And I guess you know, the thing that I look for again is, you know, where are you going to implement that? Where are you going to address that? Who, you know, how are you going to, you know, find the prospects that are really going to buy into that, and where are they going to be at?
Yeah, good. That's good feedback. All right, if somebody's moving paper around, we can hear. Okay.
That was me. Right. Sorry, I forgot to mute.
Okay, no, it's fine. All right, Denise, what do you think about it?
Hi. I really liked when she said helping women reinvent themselves for their second act, because oftentimes people feel that this is my life and I just need to make the best of it, and I'm too old to change careers now or think of doing something new. And, you know, so I really do like the terminology reinvent for a second act.
Good. Okay. All right, Shelby, do you have some feedback for Anne-Marie?
Absolutely. I also love the term reinvent. I would want to do some additional work around the phrase second act. I don't know if everybody would get that. And you might be able to come up with something more specific, you know, to, you know, enhance your contribution or something simpler to ensure that everybody gets it. They're going to get corporate executives, they're going to get reinvent, but I want to be sure that they get what they're reinventing for.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's great. All right. So, Anne-Marie, the hub statement. So I think that that was a good first pass, right? And I don't want to take away from your work because it came to you this morning and it inspires you. And, you know, the premise of coaching is the answer comes from within. So if that's who you are and that's what comes to you and what channels you, then go for it. And I respect that. So my comments really are just to make it, you know, just more impactful. You know, the steps for crafting your hub statement, you know, there's three key pieces. One is, what is the most critical problems my niche has? Two, what is the most important and specific goals they want to achieve? And three, what is the most important and specific benefit or outcome my prospects will receive by working with me? So I'm not sure that statement captures it. So let's walk through the three pieces. So what are the most critical problems the people in your niche have, Anne-Marie?
I think the most critical problem is that, you know, they're in a role that they think is sort of good enough, right? It's meeting their needs, but they're not in love with it. They're not feeling, you know, I said last week, it's the, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but I know it's not this. So there's a level of unfulfillment, but there's also, there's the but. But I don't know where to go from here. You know, this is what I went to school for, or this is all that I know how to do. I don't necessarily, really what it comes down to is I don't know who I am. but I don't know what that next thing really could be or should be. They're living in that world of should.
Yes, and fear, right?
Yes, that's definitely a fear, a trepidation, yeah.
Right, so this isn't good enough, it's not this, I'm unfulfilled, where do I go, right? So that's fear, this is all I know. You know, I don't know who I am, right? And I don't know who I am without.
Right.
Right, so what goals do they want to achieve?
I think there's an element of maintaining, being able to maintain a lifestyle, you know, the place where they're in now, so sort of the creature comforts of what they have now, but with much more emotional passion, purpose. So the goals are very emotional, right? It's feeling like you're living, you're doing what you're meant to do, feeling like you're living how you want to feel.
Yes. All right, so what do they want specifically? Do they want another job? Do they want another career? Do they want to start a business? Like, what do they want?
I don't know if they. That's the thing. I don't know if they know what they know what they want. I think they want to create. They want to be more in control of what that next thing looks like. But I don't. I think that's part of the challenge is they don't know.
Yeah.
So there's an element of I need to be able to define my options. I need to understand what is possible.
Yes. Okay. So that's the process. To define their options, but at a certain point they are going to make a decision,
right?
And when it comes to work, let's say if we're saying about work, second act is a second act around work, or is it life?
No, it's work. So maybe there's a dream career, or that I think that's really what is more meant by second act is. Dream career or dream calling but there is definitely a monetary element behind it.
Yes, right? Right? So when it comes to your career, there's only a couple of things you're going to do. You're either going to switch jobs, you're going to come up with a new career, you might start a business, or you might go on sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
You might do nothing. You might just take a break.
Yep.
So is there, of that four, is there a certain group that you would prefer to work with? Like, do you want to help someone get a new job, a new career, take a break, climb a mountain? Like, who inspires you?
No, I think it's what inspires me most is helping people define those opportunities. It's the process of defining the options, defining. I actually don't enjoy the process of helping people find a career or find a job or find. I enjoy much more the painting the here's the five things that are in front of you, and then saying, okay, now what help? What resources might you need to activate or to learn more about these things?
Yeah, because you like the mind map.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I'm definitely more of a possibilities and options person than I am the execution of any one of those.
Yes, so, you know, I wrote mind mapping for you and I circled it. So,
yep.
You know, you could, you know, help people, you know, help women that say, you know, I not this. This is all I know, right? I don't know what to do next. And I just need somebody to map it out with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm fine. And then I'm fine. I'll take it from there. Walk me through. Give me clarity. Let me see it. They'll walk away with a picture because you're great with the visuals. I mean, you're great. It's just who you are. And that's what they walk away with. It's completely
yep.
It's all mapped out. And then they take it from there. And that's that could be the benefit of the outcome is they get this pretty picture that actually sums up their entire life and what they need to do next.
It's possibilities. It's
yes. But what are you thinking? This has to resonate with you.
I love it. I think I agree that second act is not. I want to call it something, and I don't know if I know enough about what people call it just yet, but it is this world of options and possibilities and also a deeper sense of who I am. That's where the reinvent themselves comes in. Is there's an element of what I do that really gets at, for the first time in my life, I know who I am, what I value, what choices are important, who's important, right? It's getting that out, and that's the foundation for, okay, now what's possible that brings me passion, brings me fulfillment at that point.
Okay. All right, so you're not doing planning with people. You're not helping them figure it out. You're helping them figure out themselves.
Figure out themselves and then define the possibility. So from themselves, then is it a business? Is it maybe I don't want to work. Maybe they think it's coming in monetarily. That seems to be the trigger. But maybe it's I want to go on sabbatical for a year and travel, blah, 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 you know. So there is an element of I get people sort of out from themselves to at least mapping the spaces.
Yes. So is that a plan? And, you know, so if I work with you and at the end I've made, because it sounds like what you're saying is I've made a decision. You know, I've made a decision that I'm going to get a new career. I'm going to get a new job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a sabbatical. So I am deciding it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't take people to one decision. Most people I've worked with, they're not quite ready for that. Maybe some people are, but most people really just want to say, I want to walk away with a few options to then think about and really start to craft behind.
Okay. All right. So are you helping people? All right. So let's see, because somebody will want to say to you, what am I specifically walking away with? Like, what's my deliverable?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you answer that for them?
How would I answer that? I think it's a deeper sense of who you are and what's possible, what options are possible, concrete options that are possible for your future.
Okay. So are you working with people who are lost?
I don't think lost is the word that they would use. I know it's not
okay.
The word I used.
Good. What
unsettled. Unsettled. Unsettled, unfulfilled, ready, considering a leap, considering a pretty big leap, or wanting a big leap. But, you know, the visual is I can see the cliff, and I'm really, really considering making that jump over, but I want at least some ideas of what's on the other side, or what
okay.
could be on the other side.
Okay. All right. So, Anne-Marie, I'm going to tell you where I'm stuck because I'm stuck with this because, you know, and so I'm trying to get unstuck for myself as I'm helping you with this because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that people pay for something, right, and they pay for a deliverable. So I'm just wondering, and I'm really coming from a place of curiosity of, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm sick to my stomach. You know, I need help figuring it out. And you say to them, you know, I'll help you come up with a few options, but, you know, once you have those few options, you still need to do work on your own, you still need to work with somebody else, I'm not really taking you to the finish line. I'm taking you halfway. I'm taking you to a certain point. So that's where I'm stuck. So help me understand, you know, why people would pay what I think is halfway.
I think that might be where I'm stuck a little bit too. I think that might be where I'm. I do think that there is it's a smaller niche of people that really kind of want to just get to what options, opportunities, and then we'll kind of you see which ones resonate and make some, you know, what else do you want to go do? What other information do you need to see which one of these options are most
relevant, right? And do you help
them? Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to help them figure it out?
I will help them get to that place of relevancy. Yes, which ones are most relevant. And, again, I like to help people get from the 5 to the 2, but I'm still not – I don't want to be a career coach, right? I don't want the person who just wants to leap into another job. I want the person who wants to do some self-exploration.
You know, you can still do exploration. You can still make a decision. Like, you can take them to one, which is I've decided I want a new job or a new career or I want to take a sabbatical. And you can say, you know what, we're good from here. You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm wondering what's keeping you from helping them get to the point of decision, because you're doing so much work to help them flush out the possibilities. You know, why not take them to decision, and then once they come, you send them on their way.
I think it's just because of what I've experienced. What I've experienced so far, the people who are ready to make a decision, who really want a decision, aren't necessarily the people that want to do the self-exploration. Right? They want to do. There's a speed element to it. And
yes.
I like to do the broader mapping coaching. The people that I find that want to do the broader mapping and options and possibilities, they're not really ready to make a decision. So I also don't want to force that on them. So I really am looking for, and I get that it might be a smaller niche, but I really am looking for the people who want just to understand what that broader world looks like. And maybe get it down to one or two and try a different, you know, and yes, maybe there is a we're going to keep going in our path, but now we're going to meet less frequently or discussions are going to shift a little bit, et cetera. So my personal experience is I have found those are two very different groups of people.
Okay, good. See, now I heard what you said. So, so it sounds like what you're bringing people to is a place of clarity, like inner clarity, possibilities, and then they get to go into exploration mode. They get to go into exploratory mode, possibility mode. So that's the deliverable. I'm going to take you to a place where now you're ready to explore.
Yep. That's it.
Yes. That's your deliverable.
That's it.
Yeah. So you're working with people who are unfulfilled, unsatisfied. You know, what's next? I really can't do this anymore. And I just want to step back and take my time. I really just want to take my time, and I want to do this right, because there's a lot
right
in this.
Yep, exactly.
Yes, and I think that the mind mapping is, I think, that it has to work for you. It's a big piece for you, you know, to help people visualize it and see it.
That's exactly, there's a whole lot of mind mapping that goes into that.
Yes, right? So it's beautiful and it's fun and it's like magical for you. It's like a slow dance that you really enjoy, right? And then, you know, and I'll bring you to a place of exploration.
And then
you're ready.
You know, so I was in a business incubator here in Cincinnati, and the first step of the business incubator is explore. And that's for people who have a business idea and want to flesh it out further. I actually want the step before that. I want to get them to be able to explore one or two things, or maybe 5 things. I don't know, but I want to discover. I'm a much more of a discovery type coach.
Yeah, write that word, discover.
I am. So I'm bringing that back to the hub. I'm bringing that back to the hub statement. It's reinvent themselves and discover their possibilities.
Yeah, like who they are. All right. So I want you to just kind of sit with this.
Okay.
I want you to sit with it because I'm going to move on to a couple other people in the group. And then towards the end, you know, let's regroup. And if not, you know, you and I can always email during the week. But I think that this helps with clarity, right?
It really does. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you for exploring with me, Anne-Marie.
No, I this is the first time where I have, in the past, I've had to chase the money, Deborah, right? And I've ended up with people who want to go fast. And that's not me. That's not what I do. That's not where I'm the best. So this is the first time where I'm actually saying, no, I want the people that don't want, that are willing to take time. And we'll go fast when it makes sense. So thank you for that.
I love it. You're welcome. All right, Mike, you're up. What's your hub?
My hub is I'm struggling. I'm struggling with my hub. I'm brainstorming my hub and you know, over the last 24 to 48 hours, and I actually realized that I probably, or at least I feel, a little bit more maybe out of touch with my target audience than perhaps I realized.
Okay.
You know, as I kind of played around with it and explored it a little bit and dug into it a little bit, I said, you know, am I really in touch with what their needs are, what I'm going to deliver for them. You know, I know what I can deliver for them, but is it what they're really looking for? Is it what they really need? And if it is what they need, do they realize it? And you know, where does that all fit in? So I took a step back and took a big deep breath with that, and I just kind of, you know, sat with it for a while and put some thoughts together around it. And knowing that, what I probably will do after this is just sit down with members of that audience who I'm friendly with and quiz them, you know, get reacquainted with the folks. And, you know, more specifically, it is designed to serve people who are financial services sales professionals who may be struggling to meet their objectives, who may be new to transitioning or repositioning their business, or who may be looking to ramp up performance but find themselves unable to gain traction. You know, that's as focused a who as I could make it.
Okay. All right, so I want to say something. You know what? I think this is really good. So last week you were very sure. You were pretty sure, right? We talk about new crew. You were going to help people, like new people to career. You know,
yeah.
You're going to help them rise to the occasion, new goals, achievements, new people. So what happened from last week to this week?
As I rolled that out, I started to think about what other, I'm not the first person to try to coach these types of people.
Okay.
So just being out there and being a coach, for these people may not quite be enough in terms of setting myself apart.
All right, so as you say something, I'm going to stop you and interrupt you, right? So now we have a fear, right? There's other people who do this. You know, I might not be good enough, right? And also, you have two fears, right? You have a fear of being exploited and being vulnerable, of putting those together, and you have a fear of choosing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if those fears are coming into place because you were sure.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought. I interrupted you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's exactly where I landed. And I said, okay, you know, how much is this just kind of regurgitating those issues you just raised. And I challenged myself with that. I said, how much of that is just, your old obstacle, so to speak. On the other hand, if we, just say, oh, that's just crazy, full speed ahead, it's just the fear getting in your way. Let's explore that a little bit. Let's look at it maybe from more than, 90 degrees. Let's go 360 degrees with it. And what I came up with, is this. Part of it, is that sense of reticence and fear and, the obstacles that, we've talked about as they relate to me specifically. But it also enlightened me to the fact that, it's been a while since I've really sat down with these folks in that industry, in that level of detail. And maybe I do need to understand a little bit more where they're at. What do I really know what the contemporary needs are? So, yes, I will acknowledge and agree that those internal personal obstacles are a factor. But on the other hand, it probably would behoove me as I expand on that and expand in this hub statement and expand on, some substance to that, to sit down with these folks just a little bit more and find out what is going on in the industry, what has changed in the industry, what are the new challenges, and maybe there are no new ones. Maybe they're the same ones, and maybe I'm much better positioned than I gave myself credit for. But I think at this point, to be more appropriately positioned and to be stronger in an actual rollout, I think it would be probably wise to find out a little bit more about where they're at.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, so, I believe people don't do things for two reasons. One, they're afraid of something. Two, they don't. There's a logistical thing, right? So from a coaching standpoint with Mike, where did I start? The fear. Is fear holding you back? And I know his fears because he shared his fears. So from a coaching standpoint, I can say to him, well, your fears are being exploited and being vulnerable. Your fear is choosing. Is that coming into play? And it was great. Mike, what you said was great. You said, well, it could be, and I thought about that, but I'm not sure that's it 100%. Boom. You talk about fear first. And then, Mike, you talked about the logistics. I think I need to interview people, which is perfect, which is appropriate, and it's a great next step for you. And so the goal and the reason we talk about fear first is so fear doesn't hold him back, because without that recognition of those fears, Mike would have had that conversation about, well, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe I'm out of touch, maybe I don't know what's going on, and then he just would have stopped. So Mike, I acknowledge you, because that's not what you're doing now. You could have stopped, and you stopped, you recognized the fears, and you said, I'm going to push forward, and I'm going to interview people, and that's going to help you with the logistics. That's going to help you with the fear, because you'll have outside information, you'll get some new insights, you'll get validation and clarity, and then I think you'll be ready to choose. All right, so I know that was long, but what do you think about what I just said?
You just summed it up in a thimble. That's really where it's at. I mean, I think the hub statement for me is a work in process. What I need to gauge is what I offer. How do I package what I offer, what I see, what I know, in a way that's receptive to them, that they can see, and that they can buy into. So rather than trying, as you have said, trying to convince them that they can't live without me, get them to knock on my door and tell me that they can't live without me.
Yes.
And that's really where I need to be.
Yep, it's perfect. I love it. Where you are is perfect. A hub statement is about choosing, like really choosing, right? So that's why you always want to check in and see if fear – is fear holding me back? And if it probably will. It holds everybody back. But, it sounds like in your case, it's not going to hold you back this time. and you're going to move forward. You're going to figure it out.
Mm.
All right.
Let's hope.
Go ahead, Mike.
Nope, I just said let's hope. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
All right. So does anybody have anybody want to say something to Mike? Any comments, feedback about what he said? Anne-Marie, anything you want to add? You always have something really cool and insightful to add. I know. I didn't think you were there. I know it.
No, actually, I think you summed it up even better.
But I know how that mind mapping brain works.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do. You absolutely do.
Okay, and anybody have any comments, feedback for Mike?
Yeah, this is Denise. I really like the fact that he recognizes that he needs to really zone into his niche and his people and, you know, find out what they are looking for. I think that's going to really help him a lot.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, Mike, I think that you're going to find that you already kind of know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, you already know, but from a validation standpoint and from a confidence building standpoint, it's a good way to go.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, it's also, I guess the other byproduct or fringe benefit is that it gives me, you know, people always like to be flattered a little bit and have their advice sought, and it's perhaps a kind of a marketing ploy to kind of introduce myself into the market a little bit, and even to cultivate some referrals from some warm contacts before I, you know, dive in head first.
Good. So when are you having these conversations? When's your first one?
You know, it's funny. I spoke to nothing scheduled per se. But I did talk to a couple of former colleagues of mine during the week, and we sort of left it at the give me a call, let's get together for lunch. So those will be follow-up calls over the next week, I would say, and get those things on the calendar over the next week or two.
That you would say?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, so, you know, probably, maybe, it should be, I would say, there's not a lot of power and passion in that. So when are you going to schedule your first one?
But before the end of the month.
Before the end of the month. Okay.
Deb, I got my wife coming home from a rehab on Tuesday. I got shit coming at me from all directions. That's as close as you're going to get me right now.
All right, you know what?
Just because
thank
of the logistics
you.
Of other things in my life.
All right, so you know what? End of the month sounds good to me. Does the end of the month sound good to you? No pressure. No pressure, Coach. I can't help it. I have to push
the
you.
End of the month. I hear you. The end of the month is like 10 days away, so we're not really talking that long.
Yes, just one. You know, sometimes with action could be overwhelming. So if you could just do one thing, one conversation, that's it. You know, even if you wait till the 28th and schedule it and have it sometime in March, you know, just one conversation.
That's a deal.
All right, cool. Yay. All right.
that's a deal.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. All right. Shelby, would you like to go next?
Yes, I absolutely can. Of course, I've made 16 changes while you've been talking through, but I think I've jumped over a couple of hurdles.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So I used your template, and so mine is I help people who live in heavier bodies embrace body harmony, being fit, flexible, and free, changing their mindset away from diet culture and the thin ideal toward integrated wellness.
Wow. That was intense. That was good. That was good, Shelby. A little more.
I still think, exactly. So I still think I can edit it down, Go ahead.
You know what? I stopped listening after a while. But what I did hear was heavy bodies and being free. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. Like, when you said people, like, were too heavy for their bodies, I was like, oh, my God, what a visual. I felt it in my stomach, you know? And then be free. Like, you know, like, you know, we have a friend who gained a lot of weight, and my husband always says that person's trapped in their body, you know, and he doesn't know how to get out. So, like, I was like, oh, my God, like, when you said that. That was good. I don't know. Let's go around the room. Does anybody have feedback for Shelby?
So, Deborah, what struck me, I kind of went to the mind versus body as well, but I went from who feel trapped in their mindset to in love with their bodies.
Ah.
Because honestly, Shelby, I think there's a lot of women who don't necessarily have, I'm a little bit overweight, but I don't know if I would use the word heavier body. But the work I've done has been much more freeing myself of this crazy mindset, this crazy swirl, and just being in love with what it is. So maybe I don't need
the phrase heavier bodies.
I don't think you do, but I think it's the trapped in the mindset or trapped in the limiting beliefs, and being in love with their body. Because I think you're going to speak to women in the diet culture world, like the ketos and the South Beach, who actually are already quite thin.
Yes. Okay, I help people embrace body harmony, being fit and free, changing the mindset away from diet culture toward integrated wellness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's good. It's still a little jargony, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I love the trap, like what Amory was saying, but this has to work for you. Like they're trapped somewhere. They need to be with their bodies. People aren't going to get body harmony or integrated wellness. It's too jargony. So
okay, got it.
Speak to where people are in trouble. Like where are they in pain? Like, what are the goals, right? You know, the three pieces is what's the problems, what are the goals, and what's the specific outcomes. Now, you could say that you get an integrated wellness plan, but it's not visual enough. I can't see it.
Okay, let's see. So, I help people change their mindset away from diet culture toward, and then I'll have to come up with some new words around integrated wellness. I'll replace that phrase. I help people change their mindset away from diet culture toward something.
Okay. All right. So let's make that even more powerful. Can you help people break free, you know, from their, because these are your words, break free, right?
Yeah.
So can you help people break free, you know, from.
Yep. Change their mindset and break free from diet culture.
You know, and then the other piece for you, you know, is freedom to be and to love themselves the way they are.
Okay. From diet culture toward self.
Can
self
you break
love
free
of self and body appreciation.
Yeah, Shelby, can they break free from diet?
Yeah, okay. So I help people change their mindset and break free from diet culture and break free from diet culture to to self-love and body appreciation.
That's better.
Help people change their mindset and break free from that culture, to break free from. Okay.
Is it possible that you can, is it possible you can help people break free from being on a diet and really move into, because a diet culture isn't really what they're experiencing. You know, they're experiencing, you know, these diets, I feel bad about myself because I keep doing all these diets and it's not working.
Dieting. Okay, so, okay. Change their mindset and break free from dieting to embrace self-love and body appreciation.
Yes, get rid of the mindset thing. So start with breaking free from dieting.
Okay. Change. Help people break free from dieting to embrace self-love and body appreciation.
Yes. All right. What do you think, Amory? What do you think?
I love it because it. Maybe because it resonates so much with me.
Yeah.
It's so
nice and tight.
Clear.
It's super tight.
Yeah. And I love that they're not going to walk away. Yeah, I love that people aren't going to walk away thinking, ooh, I still might lose weight. No, you're really getting to the heart of help people love themselves.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you so much.
Right. I help people break free from dieting and embrace self-love and appreciation.
Yes.
That's where you start. And then there's a discussion afterwards. And the discussion is how you work with, you know, harmony, how you integrate health and wellness programs.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't all have to be in this statement.
Yeah.
But this one is super tight and concise and rolls off the tongue. And, yes, thank you. Woo!
Good. What I've gotten about you, Shelby, is you look for the people who are trapped. And you look for people who are trapped. That's the pain. Who want to break free. That's what they're striving for.
Yeah.
You go from trapped to free. Trapped to free. So everything that you do is built around that. Your programs, your blog posts, your media, your websites. Trapped to free. Trapped to free.
Yay. Excellent.
Okay. All right, Mike, you were going to say something, right?
Yeah, just one comment. I mean, that, you know, as you were saying that, Deborah, the words that were really hitting me were liberate, emancipate. I mean, just the freedom. And it goes beyond the diet. It goes beyond the body image. I mean, it's just, you know, I think when people go through the process with you, they're going to wind up way past the shackles of the diet. I mean, they're going to be, I'd like to think, in an entirely new place that makes the diet lifestyle, if you will, look so small.
Yeah.
I mean, what you offer is really much bigger than even just going beyond the body image. It's just reinventing their entire life.
But this is their pain point. So they're going to get to the broader mess at some point, but this is the thing that's crippling them now. And if they could understand changing a mindset and breaking free from this bondage, from this torture, then it's going to expand their vision to see other places in their life where they also can break free.
Yes,
exactly.
And Shelby,
that's what we're saying. Yep.
Yeah, Shelby, I think Mike gets that, okay?
Yeah.
So, yes. So you want to meet people where they are, so you're going to meet them with a diet. But I think that hub statement was so impactful that it got him thinking bigger and it got him inspired. And
oh my God,
this woman's really going to change people's lives. And
that's
how you know. When you say something and you get a reaction like you did from Mike, That's how you know you're onto something.
Great. Awesome.
Right? So you just inspired him. Inspired all of us. Good for you. And I want to
thank you for the work.
You, Shelby, I want to acknowledge you for doing the work this week. I wasn't sure what you were going to say, but I'm glad you did the work.
No, I purposefully did my work this week.
Good for you, Shelby. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Denise, you're up. Talk to us about your hub.
Okay. My hub says, I help people live creatively to overcome life's challenges and become empowered.
Okay. All right. Feedback. Anne-Marie, what do you think?
Sorry, had to come off mute. I'm looking for specificity. Overcome life's challenges. I'm looking for, you know, what type of challenges. I'm trying to remember some of the words that we used last week. Forgive me. That first part, I'm looking for a little more specificity. Overcome. We talked about transforming, like, from disabled to
abled,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm overcoming their personal disabilities,
mm-hmm.
right? So it gets a little bit more specific to something. But yeah, that's what I was looking for, was just a little bit more of that specificity and emotion that we had last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Denise, you know, I'm thinking something like, I'm taking some of your words. This,
mm-hmm.
you know, I help people go from disabled to able to live their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You help people to live an independent life despite their disability.
I like the word empowered, but it needs to be closer to the front of the statement.
All right. So what are you thinking, Shelby?
I empower people.
Yep.
Or help empower people.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Denise, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, when we first started the class a couple weeks ago, one of my things is that I played around with the hub a few times. While I want to work with people with disabilities, because that's who I know and that's who I feel I can help the best, the niche is, again, of people who may not be able to afford me. So I'm thinking, what if I expand it based on our conversations, other people who have other challenges in life and not just physical disabilities.
Okay, such as? Give me an example of a person.
For example, say someone who maybe she has too many things going on in life and she can't, like one of the people that works for me, she's got 7 kids and, you know, she struggles with how to give everything that her children want. Like, for example, their cousins are, you know, doing soccer and doing other things, but she can't afford to give all the kids, you know, that opportunity. So one of the things
okay.
that we came up with was, well, what if, you know, you kind of have like a whole team of your own little soccer team. What if you made it so that, you know, you can just have them still do what the other kids are doing, but within your own family, you know, and find creative ways of, you know, helping them have that same fun. Or, for example, she's got 4 kids who have birthdays in June. So I, you know, been playing around with the idea of, well, what if you just had one birthday party in June and had all the kids invite a couple of friends and have one massive birthday that you
yeah.
celebrate everyone at the same time. Right, it was, Denise, you know, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Denise, then you're still working with people who can't pay you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something going on here. You keep gravitating to people who can't pay you.
You know what it is? I just want to help.
Yes. Well, then, but do you also want to get paid?
Absolutely. Especially now I just lost my job. So, yeah, I need to make this grow.
Yes. So, yes, he's still working with people. You know, so it's interesting because, you know, there's a part of you, you know, that can really make a dollar go far. So there is a piece uh-huh. here where you almost do take stuff out of nothing and you do stuff without nothing, but it's really whether people would pay you for that or not. You know, they might
uh-huh.
not pay you one on one. Maybe they would do a group. Maybe if you did like a webinar, you know,
uh-huh.
or some kind of teleseminar, you know, where you could get a lot of people, you know, paying less money and they're interested in these type of techniques.
Uh-huh.
But it really depends on how you want to coach.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to do one-on-one, it has to be, you know, people who can pay you.
Right.
How about the caregivers? Would the caregivers pay you?
Perhaps family members who are caregivers, but not people who are actual paid caregivers.
Yeah.
You know, when caregivers, like the paid caregivers, it's an industry where they really don't make that much money. You know, they're anywhere between the $9 and $12 range, especially when it's government funded. So they're not really going to have the funds themselves.
Yeah.
Some of them have
okay.
assistance, you know,
right,
government
so you,
assistance.
So you want to target family members who can pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because last week you spoke about it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to jump in with a couple of comments or two on that, if I could. You know, on the caregiving front, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, and I'm actually, you know, what I'm starting to explore. It's the same kind of struggle. I mean, I've learned a lot as a caregiver. And, you know, how can I help other caregivers with that body of knowledge from what I have learned? And I struggle with the same issues that, you know, we're raising here, which is they oftentimes find themselves in, you know, particular, you know, family members, not so much the professional caregivers and the aides, but the family members, you know, what kind of guidance can they benefit from? But the struggle that I have is exactly what we're talking about, which is they're usually under some type of financial constraint. The financial equation usually is tightened immensely. And what I'm starting to explore in that realm is not so much the individual family members, and I don't know if this has got any legs for you or not, but working with facilities. Because all of these facilities, whether it's a rehab center or a nursing home or, you know, a hospital, medical center, often have group events. And, you know, what I'm starting to explore is, you know, a fee-for-service type of arrangement where, you know what, I like to do a series of talks to your family groups, to your caregiver groups, to what, you know, and they all have these types of support groups that they try to work on. But I guess, you know, viability, you know, with the individuals is tough. But, you know, potentially to be able to offer your advice to a group through a facility that might have a few more resources might be something to consider. I'm still not sure about that. I'm exploring it on my end as well. But there's definitely a need for it out there. I can tell you that there's definitely a need for caregivers to know what the environment looks like. And, you know, someone like you definitely has insight that is incredibly valuable. How you can monetize that is something I'm struggling with myself. but I'm looking at it more as a group presentation, seminar selling kind of stuff. And if you wind up with an individual or two in those groups that might find the benefit, then maybe you can cultivate an individual client for one-on-one work as well. Just a brainstorm call.
Yeah, Denise, how are you going to market? Like, do you see yourself going? Because, Mike, that was a great suggestion, Mike. Do you see yourself going to groups? Can you go to groups?
Well, one of the things that I was thinking of doing is going to, like, universities and working with their disabled student services, where I would help them, you know, see, okay, now you finished college. Now what? You know, like, what are some of the things that you're going to have a challenge with? You know, you're going to have a challenge with, I still need Medicaid to pay for my attendance. So how can I work? How much can I earn and still keep my benefits so that I can live independently with my attendant? You know, how much money can I save in the bank? You know, there are so many barriers when you do have a disability and you rely on that government assistance to help you pay for something that's like, you know, anywhere from, you know, like $200,000 a year. How would you pay for that? I mean, like, if I was to pay for it myself, I'd need to be earning at least $500,000 a year.
Yes. So, but you know, Denise, that's also another group of people that can't pay you.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the organization.
Yes, if the organization can pay you, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I'm not taking away from your love and passion of this, but, you know, I'm just wondering, is there a way for you to make some money quicker? You know, and do that type of work. So it's not saying not to do that type of work, but let's find a way for you to get paid also, because that's important. You know,
so trying to find another niche.
Yeah, but I love what Mike just said about these facilities, like going and speaking in these facilities. And Mike, as you were speaking, I was thinking that you go to the facilities in affluent areas, you know, and that maybe the topic is geared towards caregivers to help them, you know, caregivers at home, family members, you know, who are taking care of somebody who are struggling, who can pay you, and the spin is to help them live their own life, right? And you could talk about the guilt and how to empower themselves and not be so guilty and not be so tied. And there's probably a little bit of a codependency piece there also, you know, where you help them kind of break free, you know, and also, you know, during the presentation, you can give them some strategies on how to help them empower, you know, the person they're taking care of, because there's a dependency here. There's probably a codependency here where the caregiver is taking care of, and I don't mean codependency in a bad way. Sometimes it just happens. I mean, you have to take care of the person, but you get so into them that you lose your life, and then the person gets so into you, you know, because they get used to you taking care of them. So, both people need to be empowered, but I would start with the caregiver, but, you know, who can pay you. You know, and that includes the strategy. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I like it. I'm just trying to figure out how I can word it. Because, you know, I absolutely understand that the HUB statement needs to call to the person or the group of people that you're helping. There are certain words that I don't like. I actually wrote an article about words that still have stigmas to this day. And there are certain words that I just,
Denise, where you get stuck is it has to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
So it has to be perfect, right? So I'd like you to let go of what it looks like at the moment. You know, you might not be able to choose it at the moment because, you know, you were having trouble with your HUB statement because you couldn't see who you serve. So we have to separate the two. You know, the three pieces of the HUB is, you know, what are the most critical problems people in my niche have? What are the most important and specific goals they want to achieve? What are the benefits? So you have to have that first. You got to flush that out first. You know, and then you can create your statement, right? Then once you create your statement, then you can flush it out, and then you come up with the perfect words. So I'd like you to put aside what the HUB statement looks like right now, because until you can answer those three pieces, you're not really ready to create it yet. So, you know, that's why I said to you, does that audience work for you? Does it resonate with you? So it's kind of choosing who you want to work with, you know, and then you could choose the perfect words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna stop here. So not everybody has a hub. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to work on your hub statements over the next couple of weeks and send them to us. Send it to the group for feedback. It'll be nice if we can go back and forth, even if it's just going back and forth with me. You know, I'd like to help you flush it out this week. I really, really would love for you to walk away with this program, you know, with your hub statement. It's important to me that you do. And it's the hardest piece, by the way. The hub is the hardest piece. And what's interesting is, you know, our next, you know, interesting but maybe not coincidental is, you know, we don't meet next week. We meet in 2 weeks. So maybe the universe is giving us an extra week, giving you an extra week to really work this out and come up with your hub. And I'd like you to use us as a resource to come up with it. So as though everybody has a hub, that's the game I'd like to play. Everybody has a hub for our next conversation. So Denise, Mike, and Anne-Marie, are you up for that game?
Yeah, I actually am ready to email all of you with where I am right now. So, yes.
Right. You know what? Say it. Say it. Tell us what it is.
I help women who feel unfulfilled in their corporate careers to reinvent themselves and discover possibilities for their next chapter.
That's good. I like it. Get more into the exploratory piece.
Okay.
Like you really help people explore and discover. Those are your words, exploration and discover. I help you discover. Yes, go ahead.
Are we supposed to, or ideally, should we be putting our hub in our websites and that sort of thing? Or is this just something that we're using to describe what we do to other people?
Yes. It's your hub is your 30-second pitch. It's your 30-second introduction.
Uh-huh.
Like when someone says, what do? You say, oh, you know, I'm a life coach. I'm a this or that. I, you know, help people, you know, break free of diets.
But it doesn't necessarily go on your webpage.
It could absolutely positively go on your webpage. Everything you create here goes online.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting it everywhere.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's who you are. It could even be the tagline for your website. Be the tagline for your blog. Be the tagline for your Facebook page. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. All right, Anne-Marie, you want to take another shot?
One more? Okay.
Yes.
I help women who feel unfulfilled in their corporate careers to discover who they are and explore possibilities for their next chapter.
Okay, that's good. Let's get a little more into the pain. You know, really.
Okay.
You know, get. Start out with the pain. Like, I'm like, what did you say? I work with women who are saying, not this.
Yes. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but it's not this.
Yes. You could,
okay.
That could actually be your hub statement. You could just stop there. And they go, why? Because the people, seriously, the people who want that will stop dead in their tracks. And the people that are not interested will keep moving.
Totally agree.
Right?
Interesting.
Say it again.
I help women who don't know what they want to be when they grow up, but they know it's not this.
Yay!
All right.
Yes. All right, help women grow up, not this, right?
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. So, Mike and Denise, it's now up to you guys. So I want you to work on it. Now, I mean, send it to me and send it to the group. And at the game, I'd like to play with you guys over the next 2 weeks is for you to have your hub. You know,
okay.
Mike, if you say you're not ready because you want to do some interviews first, that's fine. I respect that.
No, you know what? I'm good with it. I'm really good with it. I think this is all going to align pretty well for me, and it's motivational, and it gets me off of the dime as well. So I'm good.
Good. And you will figure it out, both of you. Denise, I promise you, you're going to figure it out. Mike, I promise you, you're going to figure it out. Absolutely, positively. Okay. All right. So let's wrap up. So, all right. So your homework for this class is to complete your hub statement. That's your assignment for those. And if, you know, Shelby and Anne-Marie, you want to refine yours and send it out, more than welcome. You know, tweak as needed. In the next session, which is in 2 weeks, we will discuss how to create an effective and prosperous client attraction plan. So we're going to do a client attraction plan in session number 4. So before we go, before we leave session 3, I'm going to go around the room. One sentence, what are you walking away with? So, Shelby, what are you walking away with?
A solid, concise, tight elevator statement that I can leverage on all communication platforms.
Yay! Love it. Anne-Marie, what are you walking away with?
Clarity. It's just like, I just feel like it's laser focused.
Good. You worked very hard to get here. Good for you.
Thank you.
Mike, what are you walking away with?
A clear picture of what this is really starting to look like. A little bit more belief and substance in a benefit statement.
Good. And you know what? You're facing your fears, Mike. It takes a lot of courage to face your fears. You get acknowledged for that. Shelby, I didn't acknowledge you, but you get acknowledged for doing the work.
Thank you very much.
All right. Denise, what are you walking away with?
I'm walking away with the idea that I need to really think wider with my mark, with my niche, and really think about maybe the people who help them and try and get that into my hub. So I'm going to definitely work on that.
Good. Do that first. See it. Then once you see it, you can put the words together. Let go of having to know what the words are. See it first, then work on the words, okay?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay? All right. Yes. So this is Deborah Beck-Volkman for CTA's Niche to Be Rich. Session number 3 is complete. I will see you all in 2 weeks at session number 4. And I'm here as a resource for you, whatever you need, okay? Everybody have a wonderful couple of weeks.
You too.
You too.
Thank you.
Have a great couple
weeks. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.